Lisa Salters, you're here today to talk about your E60 special, and it's called A Murder in Memphis, and it's the story of the murder of former NBA player Lorenzen Wright, whose body was found riddled with bullets in a remote field out in Memphis 11 years ago this month. This is a case that went years without an arrest, and even today is still ongoing. So what drew you to this case?
Well, Lorenzen Wright was an NBA basketball player.
Lisa Salters is a reporter for E60.
He wasn't a superstar, but he was a highly regarded big man for all the teams that he played for. So that alone, the murder of an NBA player, that's compelling enough. But what really makes this story unique is how the murder of Lorenzen Wright, how it affected everyone around him, particularly his family. He had seven children. He had twin sons, Lamar and Shamar, who are now playing basketball themselves in college.
Part of the reason I know I play basketball is because of him. I want to make sure people know that we're continuing his legacy and we're going to continue it the right way.
I forget everything. Literally, I forget everything. I was out there playing. Just I just lose sense of everything else. I'm just focused on basketball.
So we are telling the story kind of through their eyes, how they are trying to live up to the basketball legacy that their father left, and how they have coped with his absence and the gruesome way in which he was taken away from them. So this is really a story about family. It's a story about twin boys, Lamar and Shamar Wright, who are still dealing with the after effects of their father's murder all these years later.
It's been over a decade now since the murder of Lorenzen Wright shook the sports world. The Memphis native spent 13 seasons in the NBA and was a beloved figure in his hometown. But for years, the investigation into his death went cold, until it eventually led right back to the Wright family's doorstep. Today, Lisa Salters reports on the children Lorenzen Wright left behind, who speak for the first time about their father, his murder, and the accusations against their mother, Shara, who can be heard for the first time since she was imprisoned for her involvement with his death in a rare prison interview. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, July 16th. This is ESPN Daily. So, Lisa, I want to start at the beginning here. Who was Lorenzen Wright?
Lorenzen Wright was Memphis, Tennessee. Anyone who knew him, they all say the same thing, that he kind of embodied what the city of Memphis was all about. He chose to stay in Memphis to play his college ball.
Lorenzen Wright! Oh, empty, right on it again. A little high-rise time.
And the city really just fell in love with him.
It's just an honor to play for this team because, you know, Memphis has a great basketball tradition.
He played 2 years at the University of Memphis and then declared for the 1996 NBA draft.
I believe now is the time for me to accept the challenge of playing with the best basketball players in the nation.
And went on to have a, not a superstar career in the NBA, but a solid one.
When you mentioned the city of Memphis, Lisa, and the ethos and the personality that city embodied, and Lorenzen embodying that, what does that mean?
Well, to find out, like, you really have to talk to people who are from Memphis. And another one of Memphis's beloved sons is Penny Hardaway. And when you talk to Penny, he says grit and grind.
Just that Memphis grit is what we really take pride in. Everything that you get, you've earned it. Him and the city kind of are similar. He was going to make you work all game.
Lorenzen Wright was that kind of grit and grind player that he wasn't going to make anything easy on you during a basketball game. He was going to make you work for everything that you got. And, you know, there are cities like that around the country that are just about, you know, blue collar, hard work, leave it all out there. And from everything that I've heard and read and learned about Lorenzen Wright, that's the kind of ball player that he was.
So in 1996, Lisa, as you say, Lorenzen Wright enters the NBA draft, and this is one of the most loaded draft classes we've ever seen.
Good evening, and welcome to the 1996 NBA draft at the Continental.
It's Allen Iverson, it's Kobe Bryant, it's Steve Nash, it's Ray Allen, and at number 7 overall is Lorenzen Wright.
The Los Angeles Clippers select Lorenzen Wright from the University of Memphis.
So that NBA career, how would you describe how it went?
It was solid, but think about it. Lorenzen Wright was drafted higher than Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
Lorenzen Wright didn't turn out to be the kind of player that Kobe Bryant was. Few players do. But Lorenzen Wright had a solid career. Again, he was highly regarded for just his style of play. You know, he did the dirty work, the rebounding, the defense. He was 6'10". He played for the Clippers to start his career. He was drafted by the Clippers. Then he moved on to the Atlanta Hawks. He eventually ended up with the Vancouver Grizzlies. What's interesting about that is that the Grizzlies moved to, of course, Memphis.
We're representing for Memphis only. So thank you guys for coming out here and supporting us.
And he got this unique and wonderful opportunity to actually go home and play for his hometown team now, the Memphis Grizzlies.
Grizzlies trail by 5, dribble drive, left hand followed by Lorenzen Wright.
So that was a dream come true for him.
So Lorenzen ends up playing 5 seasons with the Memphis Grizzlies in his hometown. But during this time, Lisa, how would you describe what was going on with his personal life?
Well, he was having a very successful professional basketball career, and his personal life was also, you would say, successful as well. He was married to his high school sweetheart. Her name is Shara Robinson. They were married, had 7 children. Listening to their children talk about the early years of their marriage and their childhoods, especially Shamar and Lamar, his twin sons, they talk about it just being kind of like a storybook. All the good times, all the family vacations, the Christmases that they spent together.
Come tell the camera what you got.
I got this game from my dad.
Put those videos
in. It's set.
That's from mommy and daddy.
Lamar told me.
We were always having a Christmas tree and make sure everybody's decorating their tree, like Christmas music playing. And that was like just the beginning of it.
Shamar said.
It was always good vibes or just good times when my parents were together.
Merry Christmas.
Daddy, can I open it now?
One of Lorenzen's children, his daughter Lauren, she says our parents were always kissing and hugging, all that gross stuff that kids don't want to see.
They were just like happy and kissing and all that like nasty stuff as a kid. You're like, ugh. They were loving and in love, and they were mom and dad. They were always together.
So from the outside looking in, this was the perfect family. Unfortunately, that didn't last.
When do things take a turn for this storybook picture of a family?
It was in 2003. It was a horrible tragedy. The Wrights lost one of their children, their youngest, 11-month-old Sierra. She died in her crib, and authorities said it was because of sudden infant death syndrome. We call it SIDS. It's devastating for any family, but I think for the Wrights, it really was the beginning of the end for them.
So as this tragedy is reshaping their life, what is Lorenzen Wright's NBA career looking like at this point?
So when Sierra Wright died, not only was it just emotionally heartbreaking and devastating for Lorenzen and his wife, Shara, and their children, but it was also coinciding with the downturn of his NBA career. And eventually in 2009, after 13 seasons in the league, his playing days were over.
And what effect, Lisa, does this have on his marriage with Shara at this point?
After the death of Sierra Wright, Things at home didn't go well for Lorenzen and Shara Wright. Their marriage had begun to suffer. There were accusations of infidelity on both sides. Shara claimed that Lorenzen physically abused her, although no official reports were ever filed. Everything kind of came to a head in 2009 when the couple separated, and in 2010, they eventually divorced.
So the twins, Lisa, the twin sons of Lorenzen and Shara, Lamar and Shamar, do they remember any of the physical abuse you referenced there in their parents' marriage?
I asked them that, and they were vague with their responses. But remember, they were young, 8, 9 years old. Some of their older siblings, however, say that they do remember, particularly Lauren Wright, the twins' older sister. She says that she does remember seeing her father physically abuse their mother.
I mean, it was like one instance when I was like sixth grade-ish that I was like in the middle of my sleep, and then I heard some thumping and stuff, and then I woke up and I walked to the steps and I saw him physically assaulting her.
But again, when I asked the twins specifically if they had witnessed any incidents of physical abuse, they weren't so committal, but this is what Lamar told me.
Do you believe that your dad ever physically hurt your mom?
People make mistakes. I know he wasn't happy with himself when he did it, you know? I know that at the end of the day, my mom loved my dad, and my dad loved my mom, and we all love my dad as well.
So Lorenzen and Shara, they divorced in 2010, Lisa, and Lorenzen moves to Atlanta, but he still comes to visit Memphis fairly frequently, which is what happened on July 18th, 2010.
From what we learned, it was not unusual at all for Lorenzen, even though he and Shara were divorced, it was not unusual at all for him to come visit Shara and the kids in Memphis, which is what he did on July 18th of 2010. The twins say they remember that night. They were surprised to see their father, but it wasn't unusual for him to just show up. Unfortunately, it was the last time they ever saw their father alive.
I was laying there and I was asleep. And he woke me up before he left and he was like, I love y'all or whatever. And he gave us a kiss on the forehead or the cheek or whatever. And I was like, I love you too. And I went back to sleep.
After that night, that is when Lorenzen Wright went missing. And he was missing for 10 days. Family members, friends, everyone was contacted who knew Lorenzen. Shara Wright at the time said that she just assumed that he would show up. At some point, that he was off somewhere with a friend.
He was fine. And he's fine now, and I'm not gonna believe anything other than that he's fine now.
His family was looking for him. Police were searching for him.
Police have joined in the search for missing NBA player Lorenzen Wright as his family is starting to fear the worst.
Days later, a 911 call surfaced that had been placed in the early morning of July 19th, but the operator hadn't logged the call because she was unable to pinpoint the location of it.
Hi, how are you? Georgetown 911, where's your emergency? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Someone had nothing but gunshots.
So for 10 days, police, his family, everyone was looking for him. Then on July 28th...
Memphis police reportedly identified the body of former NBA player Lorenzen Wright today. Wright was last seen on July 18th, thought to be carrying a large amount of cash, which has police investigating foul play.
Lorenzen Wright's body was discovered in a remote field in southeast Memphis. He'd been shot 5 times, twice in the torso, twice in the head, once in the arm.
And Lisa, the twins in all of this, what did they recall about learning about the news of their father's death?
Shamar and Lamar were 10 years old at the time. And Shamar told me he was watching TV.
I remember I was in the playroom, the TV was on, and I was watching SpongeBob. My big brother came in the room, and he was like, let me see the remote. changed the channel and it said, Lorenzen Wright's body's been found. I was just in shock. I remember being like, huh? Like, what? This can't be real.
Lamar says that he ran to the one thing that reminded him of his dad.
I just, like, snapped and I started crying. I didn't even process it, to be honest. I just ran downstairs to the garage, to these shoes he bought me. The last things he bought me, like these customized shoes he got me with my name on it. And they're like red because my favorite color at the time. I didn't know what else to do. I just held on to them. At that moment, I just sobbed. I didn't really care what happened. I just knew he was gone.
Coming up, the years-long search for Lorenzen Wright's killer. And finally, a stunning arrest.
Delicious, meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, Lisa. So July 28th, 2010 is when Lorenzen Wright's body is discovered in that remote field out in Memphis. How did the investigation into that murder go?
Well, Shara Wright initially told police that on the night of July 18th, that Lorenzen had left her home with a box of drugs. And Shara claimed that Lorenzen went there to, quote, flip something for $110,000. Shara Wright kind of floated this idea that because they had been having financial difficulties, that Lorenzen was trying to make money any way he could. So she kind of put it out there that Lorenzen was possibly caught up in some kind of drug deal that went wrong. But no arrests were ever made. And so for 7 years, the case went cold.
The financial part of this equation, Lisa, in terms of the household finances, what was that picture like after Lorenzen obviously had this long NBA career?
Well, despite making millions in his career, they were having financial difficulties. According to Shara Wright, they were in the hole about $4.6 million. Lorenzen, as part of their divorce settlement, he was ordered by the court to pay $26,000 a month in child support and alimony. But Shara admits that they had trouble living the life that they were accustomed to.
So Lamar and Shamar, Lisa, the twins, this case is growing colder and colder and colder, and 7 years pass without any development here. How are they processing that?
Remember, they were 10 years old when their father died. And so 7 years later, he's still gone. There are no answers. And they don't think they're going to get any answers. They just wanted to be able to move on. Lamar told me,
those years were like just getting our lives back, I think. It was us moving on and healing. I didn't really care who killed my dad. I didn't want to know who did it, to be honest. I just wanted to move on from it, and I wanted to heal from it.
They wanted to get past all of it and to try to get some normalcy in their lives. And for them, that meant basketball, the game that their father loved. Both of them grew to be 6'7", and they were basketball stars at their high school and starting to get looks from colleges.
So the twins are living out their own basketball dreams and ambitions in the vein of their dad. They're playing hoops, they're prospects, they're trying to get past this unsolved murder that has upended their entire life. But then something changes, Lisa, in the investigation into their father's murder. What is it?
On December 15th, 2017, the twins are coming home after a basketball game. Shara Wright, their mom, is driving the car. And all of a sudden, they see the red and blue lights flashing behind them.
The police are pulling us over. We're like, oh, snap, were we speeding or something?
And then she pulled over. And then next thing you know, it's like another car, another car, another car, another car. They come on the intercom, they call up and they like, Shara Wright, step out of the vehicle, put your hands up. We hear them say like, homicide, homicide.
When authorities pull them over, U.S. Marshals, with guns drawn, demanded that Shara Wright and everyone in the car get out. Everyone was handcuffed, and Shara Wright was arrested for the murder of Lorenzen Wright.
So then when you're 17 and you're in that car and she gets arrested, what did you think then?
That's what we're thinking, like, oh, like, we bring it back to my dad. Like, we're thinking, like we're thinking, like, they're arresting her for killing our dad.
I was just like, wow, this is really happening? I was just like, this is so far down the line. Like, what now could have changed that? Like, what, how 7 years later, y'all finally have something that can, like, take my mom to jail?
Why did federal authorities here arrest Shara Wright?
Shara Wright was always a suspect. There were allegations of domestic violence. Though no official reports were ever filed, there were accusations that Lorenzen Wright physically abused Shara. And according to police, they believe that that was a motive for her to kill him. But what the police did not have was any evidence against her. Apparently that changed when authorities got a tip from Shara Wright's cousin, a guy by the name of Jimmy Martin, who was already in prison on murder charges of his own. According to Shara's cousin, this Jimmy Martin, he said that Shara had orchestrated the murder of Lorenzen, and he said he helped her dispose of the murder weapon. And in fact, he gave police a tip that they could find the murder weapon in a lake in Mississippi. That lake was about an hour away from where Lorenzen Wright's remains were found. When police dragged that lake, they indeed found a gun and were able to match it to bullet casings that were found at the murder scene. Police also arrested another man, Billy Ray Turner, who apparently was a deacon at Shara Wright's church. They also charged Billy Ray Turner in connection with the murder.
We followed the evidence, and the evidence led us to Billy Ray Turner and Shara Wright as being involved in the homicide of Lorenzen Wright.
Police had apparently wiretapped Billy Ray Turner's phone, wiretapped Shara Wright's phone, and charged them both with first-degree murder and conspiracy. In July of 2019, Shara Wright pleaded guilty to facilitation of first-degree murder and was sentenced to 30 years in prison with the possibility of parole after 8.
When you enter this guilty plea today, you're giving those rights up. You're waiving those rights. You are asking this court to find you guilty without a trial and set this punishment which has been recommended on your case. Now, is that what you want to do, Ms. Wright?
That is correct.
right, Lisa, after the break, I want to hear from your exclusive interview with Shara Wright in prison and why she now says she had nothing to do with her ex-husband's murder.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Lisa, you were able to interview Shara Wright yourself from the prison she has been in Tennessee. What was that conversation like?
Interesting, because, you know, obviously because of COVID, we had to do it. Over the phone.
Hello, this is a free call from an inmate at the Tennessee Department of Corrections, Tennessee Prison for Women.
Hello, Shara.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Lisa Salters. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Lisa. Nice to meet you.
You know I have to ask you some really tough questions today, right?
Sure.
Did you kill Lorenzen Wright, Shara?
No, absolutely not.
Did you have any part in the murder of Lorenzen Wright?
Absolutely not.
Did you conspire with anyone to murder Lorenzen Wright?
I did not.
Cher, when was the last time that you saw Lorenzen?
The night of July the 18th.
And can you take me back to that night? What happened?
Lorenzen lived two separate lives, and one of them caught up to him that night, and it's just, I mean, he owed several people money. There was a $4.6 million deficit in our income, and during that time period, he had to figure it out. Like, what are we going to do to make up that deficit? And I'm not proud of it. The reason why it hurt so much is because he did that for us. He wanted to make sure that his family, we can maintain the lifestyle that we had.
So, this is where I think some confusion is understandable, because Shara Wright, Lisa, had obviously pled guilty to that murder, but she is saying now that she didn't do it. Why is that? How do you square all of that?
Yeah, I asked her that, and she's actually going to court now looking to have her plea agreement thrown out. She now says, in effect, that her confession was coerced.
I was being abused, literally. All my rights were being, all the cards are stacked against me. I'm being mentally abused. I have post-traumatic stress disorder from being held in Shelby County. My mind, like, it started dwindling, like, drifting away from me because I was like, what is this? Who is this person? And during those times, they would separate me from my children where I couldn't talk on the phone. And when you lose your family support in a place as dark as this, you have nothing.
If she is successful and that plea agreement is thrown out, it means that she could go on trial again for the murder of Lorenzen Wright. And this time, she would face life in prison if convicted.
Mm. So, Lisa, Lamar and Shamar, their father gets taken from them at age 10, and then they have to live with not knowing who the killer was for so long, and then their mother, in the end, is arrested for the killing. How did they deal with this?
They don't believe it. Shamar and Lamar do not believe that their mother had anything to do with the death of their father. This is what Lamar said to me.
I believe her 100%. I've seen the hurt, Mom. I've seen the hurt that she's had. And, like, I know how much harder her life is without my father. And I know how much she loved him.
Shamar told me,
I am who I am today just because
probably the person who I followed the most was my mom. And just what she instilled in me and what she instilled in me and my siblings, I feel like there's no way a person like that would do something like that.
Have you ever thought, even if it was just to yourself, what if mom did have something to do with it?
Of course it comes to my head. Like, if that never came to my head, then I would just be in full-fledged denial of everything. So, of course, I've definitely thought that to my head before.
Has she been able to have contact with her twin boys?
Well, she hasn't seen her children in several years, but Lamar and Shamar have stayed in contact with their mother. They had been hoping to be able to see her this past winter because they had a basketball game in Nashville where she is incarcerated. But their request to see her was denied by the prison.
You mentioned, Lisa, that the twins had a basketball game. And, you know, one of the things that really comes through in this E60 piece is the bond between those two boys who are now 21 years old. They're adults now, and they could have gone their separate ways as they were being recruited as basketball players, but they decided to stay together for college, and now they head into their junior season together at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville.
We almost went to school separately, but just because we had the chance to play together, like, it was a no-brainer that we needed to make that happen.
We always played together. We never played on different teams before. I've never been on a basketball team without him.
So regardless, Lisa, of whether or not you now believe the claims of innocence that their mother is making, it is pretty impossible not to empathize with them and just feel for them on account of what is an unbelievable series of truly awful events they've had to endure.
Think about them. They lost their father. Their mother is in prison. Despite all of that, they are two impressive young men. They seem to be incredibly well-adjusted. Despite the fact that there are people around them who believe that their mother killed their father, they hear that, but they seemingly do not let that affect them. They love their mother. They believe in her innocence. They love their father and want to honor him as well. That's why they wear the numbers that their father wore.
That's the best way to do it, is by having his number on my back, right 42. So just representing him the best way I can every time I play.
Shamar wears number 42. That was the number that Lorenzen Wright wore as a pro. Lamar wears number 55.
I looked at him in college, and he wore number 55 in college. So I just try my best to, when I go out there on the court, not to embarrass the name.
So through all of this, despite all of this unspeakable tragedy that these two young men have had to endure, they have basketball and they have each other. And I think that is what has sustained them throughout all of this. What do you want people to know about Lorenzen Wright's twin boys?
Everything that we've gone through has made us stronger, you know. I think that even with us losing our father and our mother going through what she's going through right now, I think we can really show people that you can push through anything.
I feel like who I am is not defined by what happened to me, but what happens to me makes me who I am.
Lisa Salters, thank you for your reporting on a difficult story.
Thank you for having me, Pablo.
You can watch E60's A Murder in Memphis on demand on the ESPN app. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Troh, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vail. Special thanks this week to Mike Philbrick, Andres Soto, Christian Gardner, Stacey Gatsoulias, Katie Tomola, Landon Days, and Jackson Augello. I'll talk to you Monday.